Last week we concluded a study on the victor. What is a victor? A victor is an overcomer, one who has the victory, a winner. And friend, in order to overcome in life, you've got to practice the walk of righteousness. We talked about that last week. And you know, the walk of righteousness begins at the point that you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It's a walk of holiness. We have to attempt strongly with God's help to live righteous lives. You know, we need to practice righteous living in every part of our existence. In our thoughts, we ought to think pure thoughts like God does. With our bodies, we need to do what is holy with our physical bodies. You know, with our words, we need to speak holy words according to the Word of God. And in our spirits, human spirits, we need to consult the Spirit of the living God concerning our futures. Don't consult any other thing except God's Spirit. God will speak to you concerning what steps you are to take in your future. Living righteous and holy lives. You know, a lot of you here today are going to live another 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years on this earth. And it's within those years that we need to walk righteously before God. Amen?
Amen.
Today I want to transition and share a message on my heart called The God of Reversal. The God of Reversal. Let's see what Webster says about the word reverse. Webster's Desk Dictionary of the English Language, 1983. This is what he says. To reverse means to turn in an opposite position. To turn inside out or upside down. To turn in the opposite direction. To cause to run in a reverse direction. We get the point here, right? To reverse. We serve a God of positive reversal. He can take the bad thing in your life and reverse it into good. He can take the seemingly impossible situation in your life and reverse it into the possible. With God, all things are possible. He is the miracle-working God that we serve, Yahweh, the Creator of heaven and earth. He can take the negative in your life and reverse it into the positive. You agree today?
Amen.
Nothing is impossible with God. Now, imagine your life today, as a ship, as a large boat. This ship, your life is made up of various parts. You've got finances, emotions, health, relationships, and so forth. And maybe right now you're sailing about the seas of life and all seems to be going well in your life. Maybe there's a blue sky in your life. Maybe the sun is out and the waters are calm. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the sky begins to whiten. The sun disappears, and the clap of thunder is heard in your life. The wind begins to blow, and the rain begins to fall, and your life, your ship, is hit by a storm. In your ship, your life begins to rock. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Or maybe today you're experiencing a storm in your life as I speak. Luke 8, 22 through 25. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. Verse 23. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. Verse 24, the disciples went and woke him saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water and they obey him." So they were sailing on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus and the disciples. It could have been a calm day, maybe a sunny day. And all at once, a storm arises. Let me ask you this. What was the disciples' initial reaction to the storm in Luke chapter 8?
Fear.
That's good. Fear. When you think of fear, think of this. F-E-A-R. False expectations appearing real. You know, it could have been that all that was going to happen was that the boat was going to rock back and forth. And yes, water was getting into it, as the scripture records. But all at once, the disciples expected the worst. Where's that found in this chapter, in this passage? They were falsely expecting the worst outcome, which was what? Look at Luke 8. It's open book, guys. Death, exactly. Verse 24. They were expecting to drown and lose their lives. And it's the same with so many of us today. Would you say so? And I'm preaching to myself today. Because a lot of times I'll fear different issues. I'll get worried. So many people, when hit by a storm, are struck with fear and intimidation. Let's say somebody loses a job. That they may falsely expect the worst outcome. Oh my goodness, I may never get a job again. I may never even have enough money again to buy myself a single meal. I may never be able to get out of the shelter. Without money, I might not be able to get myself a better mode of transportation. What is that, friends? That's nothing but fear. F-E-A-R. You know, some people diagnosed with an illness might expect the worst possible outcome, saying it will end in death. And perhaps, friends, today, as the holidays approach, we're close to the holidays, maybe you're fearing depression and sorrow that it might set in as you recall the loneliness during past holidays. God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And, you know, some people begin to worry. What is worry? It's in the same category as fear.
Doubt.
Okay. Worry is taking fear, it's thinking about the worst possible outcome, and thinking about it over and over and over and over again. Guess what? Worry is a waste of mental energy. It will not solve the problem. It is not a solution. So don't use your mental energy on worrying. I'm preaching to myself today. Now, in this storm, Jesus had a different reaction. What was the reaction of Jesus in the midst of the storm?
Sleeping.
Sleeping. Anybody else?
He was calm.
He was calm. Somebody else?
Yeah, peace.
Peace. You might be thinking, peace? Yes, friends, in the midst of the storm, Jesus was sleeping peacefully. Why could he sleep peacefully in the midst of the storm? Because his trust, his hope, his dependence was on God the Father. He knew that God the Father had the entire situation under control. It should be the same with us. When you get a bad report, an unexpected loss, remember that God has got the entire situation under His control. You know, it's sad to say that a lot of people, when they receive a bad report, an unanticipated report, an unexpected loss, they lay their heads down at night and they sleep like a baby. They wake up every 2 hours crying. Friend, I'm here to tell you today to encourage you, don't let fear and worry rob you of your peace. Remember this, if Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, He is in your boat, He is in your life. He's got the entire scenario, situation, circumstance under His control. You can rest in peace knowing that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is with you. You agree? You know, a lot of people resort to their human understanding when they're hit by a storm. To their own human strength. Human strategizing. What do some people do? When some people are hit by a storm, they resort to addictions. Maybe cigarettes to give them some kind of high. Some people go to alcohol to drown the bad memories, to drown the bad reports. Some people might be depressed and down in sorrow, and so they turn to drugs to get some type of high. And friends, you might be there today, addicted to some chemical. Let's see what Jesus says in John 14, verse 27. He's got good news. John 14, 27. This is what he says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You know, some people in the world, and some of you here today, may have turned to addictions to find solutions to the storm in your life. But friend, I'm here to tell you today that addictions will not provide peace. Addictions only provide temporary relief. So that when the cigarette runs out, or the alcohol runs out, or the drugs run out, guess what? You've got to go back to them. And therein lies the addiction. But the peace that Jesus gives surpasses any human understanding. The peace of Jesus can be there in your heart in the middle of the storm you might be going through. How many know the ad of the Energizer Bunny? What does it do? Keeps going and going and going. What's the peace of Christ like? In the middle of the storm, the peace of Christ keeps going and going and going and going, even when the going gets tough. Even when you're in the middle of some type of storm. Does that make sense? Let me ask you this today. What will prevent fear and worry from invading your life during a storm? Ask that again. What will prevent fear and worry from invading your life during a storm that you might be in or might experience?
Prayer.
Prayer, okay. Anybody else?
Faith.
Anybody else?
Mind stayed on God to keep you perfect.
That's good. Remember deep down on the inside that the God we serve, the creator of heaven and earth, is a God of reversal. He can take a bad thing and reverse it into a good thing. Jesus knew this. And that's why he slept peacefully in the middle of the storm. And what did Jesus do when the disciples cried out? What did Jesus, God the Son, do in the middle of the storm? He reversed it. He took a storm and reversed it into the calm. We serve a miracle-working God now. My own life was working at a shelter here for several years. I'm not going to mention the name of the shelter, but from late 04 up until about early 08, we were ministering on a weekly basis in 2007 at this particular shelter. And I just loved reaching out to the people. We'd bring in food and clothing and the Word of God like we do here at John 3:16. And I received an unexpected report in early February of 2008 from the staff of the shelter. And they said, you guys will no longer be ministering here on Monday nights. This Monday will be your last Monday. Friend, I'm telling you, my mind just went left and right, up and down. That was a storm in my life like no other almost. I didn't know what to do. But in the midst of that storm, I had peace on the inside. Why is that? Because I knew that God had the entire thing under His control. It just knocked me off course for a moment. But God reversed that situation, and basically He opened up other doors to us. He took something that was bad and turned it into good, and hence we're here today ministering to you guys at John 3:16. We also minister at the Day Center. God is good, right? If He did it for me, He can do it for you. He can take the negative in your life and reverse it into good. He is no respecter of persons. I want to talk about Hezekiah here for a few moments. 2 Kings 20. Very interesting passage or account here. Hezekiah was a king of Judah. And Hezekiah was a righteous king. He wholeheartedly served God. He loved God. He was a good man. And let's look at 2 Kings 20, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover." So what kind of report did Hezekiah receive? He received a bad report that he was going to die. He was not going to recover. It was pretty definite, would you say? Because he said, "You are going to die. You will not recover." Bad news, right? Let's read on. Verse 2. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." Verse 7, "Then Isaiah said, prepare a poultice of figs. They did so and applied it to the boil, and he recovered." What happened to Hezekiah? He was in the midst of a storm. Would you agree it? You ain't going to recover, Hezekiah. You are going to die. But what did God do? The God of positive reversal did what? He reversed the storm in Hezekiah's life and said, "I will heal you." Verse 5. "I will add 15 years to your life." Friends, if he did it for Hezekiah, he can do it for us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God we serve never changes. All he's looking for is what? Trust. He turned Hezekiah's situation into good. You know, but Hezekiah had a part to play. What did Hezekiah do? In 2 Kings 20, verses 2 and 3. He did what? He turned his face to God, he prayed, and he did what? He cried out to God. His prayer to God, his crying out to God, was an expression of his faith in Almighty God. He knew deep down on the inside that God could turn it around, that God could reverse the negative situation. Jesus said the same thing to the disciples in Luke 8, the passage we just read. Luke 8, 25. What did he say to the disciples when they were struck with fear? What did he say? He said, "Where's your faith?" What was Jesus trying to say? I think what Jesus was trying to say was this, that this time I will calm the storm on the seas. But the next time you board a boat, disciples, I may not be physically present with you in the boat. And if I'm not physically present with you in the boat, when the storm arises, you better start practicing faith in God. For God to deliver you. What is faith? Faith is deep down on the inside, knowing that you know that you know that God has got your life under His control. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Think about it this way. If your light, your boat, is being rocked right now, remember this. It is being rocked in the palm of God's hands. It is being rocked in the palm of God's hands. He will not let your life tip. You will not drown in Jesus' name. Say amen if you agree.
Amen.
God is the miracle-working God that we serve in. The Word of God tells us the one thing that pleases God is what? Hebrews 11, 6. Faith, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who diligently, consistently Seek him like Hezekiah did in 2 Kings 20, verses 2 and 3. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for faith, trust, reliance upon him, knowing that you know that you know deep down on the inside that God will deliver you out of the storm. I mean, there's so many accounts in Scripture we could talk about. Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16, verses 16 and on. What happened? They cast a devil out of a fortune teller. And the owners of the fortune teller were upset with whom? With Paul and Silas. So what did they do? They convinced the magistrates to throw them in prison. I would say that Paul and Silas were hit by a storm, would you? Unjustly imprisoned. But in the middle of their storm, what did they do? They practiced faith in God. How did they express their faith in God? You can read it, Acts 16. They were singing psalms and hymns to God. And immediately the prison doors flew open and they were delivered. So what's going to prevent fear and worry from invading your life when the storm hits? Resting in God, trusting in God, knowing that God has got the whole thing under control. He will not let you go. Friend, God has got your back. God can reverse the poverty into provision. He can reverse the sickness into health. He can reverse the depression and the sorrow into peace and joy. He can reverse that broken, shattered relationship into wholeness in Jesus' name. You agree? Yeah. Don't let the storm scare you, because God is right there with you. He'll speak to the storm and say, "Peace, be still," and it will be still in your life. Amen?
Amen?
Friend, He loves you so very much. He's got a plan for your life. He's got something good in store for you. Don't let your boat be, if your boat is being rocked, remember it's being rocked in the palm of God's hand. Amen?
Amen.